3, 2, 1. Good morning. In 2 minutes, it'll be a good afternoon.
Okay.
How are you?
Good.
How's it going?
Oh, it's been busy morning.
Is it?
Yeah.
A little closer to the microphone.
Okay.
There you go. Because we don't want to miss a word that you have to say, because I am excited. First of all, introduce yourself.
I'm Janie Maedler, and I'm the co-founder of Riley Sunshine, and I help run Riley Smile Foundation nonprofit.
And so a couple topics that we're going to have today, Riley's Foundation mm-hmm. and also CBD oil, and they're together. So do you want to talk about the foundation first, and then we'll get into the CBD oil?
Yeah.
Because I'm excited about to hear about the foundation, but I'm excited to hear about CBD because it's quite the craze around here lately.
Right. Yeah. So they're two separate companies, but the foundation does a lot of education. And so what the nonprofit does is we have an educational platform, and we do a lot of consultations for families concerning cannabis, CBD, hemp, those sorts of things. And we try to clear up the stigma behind it. We help with passing legislation globally. And the biggest part of that is just education-based. And we also collect data, and we watch for trends in that data. We've been doing that for 5 or 6 years. And then along with that, once we know that we have a lot of data on certain specific rare diseases, then we put that together in a platform, like a package. And then we let companies that do clinical trials, we let them know that we have, you know, something recognizable that may be an advantage for a pediatric population, let's just say. And then they'll take a look at a sample of the data and then decide whether or not they want to go into preclinical trials with that data.
So first of all, I think my first... So do you want to talk a little bit? So I'm not even sure which way to go with this, because honestly, there's so many questions. I think, mm-hmm. first of all, let's actually talk about CBD,
mm-hmm.
because what is it?
So it's an agonist of THC. It's one of the many hundred compounds of the cannabis plant. So when you look at all the cannabinoids, it's just one of many hundred. And okay. there's actually quite a few that... that we know that are there in the plant. They don't have names yet. We don't even know what they do yet.
Okay. Because it's like, it's spreading the nation, you know?
Yes.
And as of now, CBD oil is illegal.
CBD, yes.
CBD is illegal. Mm-hmm. So what are we seeing? Because it's everywhere. I mean, it's right there by the Channa Buffet. We went to buy pet food. It's in pet food. It's everywhere. So... can we finally start to understand or get an idea of what is what?
Yeah. So what is supposed to be legal is hemp
oil. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and hemp naturally has CBD, the cannabinoid in it.
Uh-huh.
And so that is, I think there's a loophole that people are jumping through, you know. The FDA just has not come down on that yet. But if you look at the FDA guidelines, it clearly says that CBD is illegal. And so, like, the labeling on products, you know, that say CBD or CBD plus, and, you know, those labeling with having CBD right on the label is actually, you know, not in compliance with what the FDA is saying. But there are companies that'll say, you know, hemp-derived cannabinoids, that's what they're looking for you to say on your labels. So that is where it is legal. And that's what the industrial hemp law did legalize. But then at the same time, the FDA did come down and say, you know, CBD is illegal.
Yeah. Well, is it because you can't smoke hemp? I mean, you don't smoke hemp.
Some people do. Not sure why yet, but they do.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to figure. I mean, I understand. Yeah. I've looked into this. I've done some reading, and I'm still slightly confused because,
right.
you know, hemp was a big, you know, the whole story. I'm sure you know the whole story why marijuana mm-hmm. is even illegal yes. in the first place.
Yeah, I think what the FDA is trying to control is where your CBD is derived from, and so they're wanting to ensure that it's derived from hemp, and. They can't tell where it's from. Like if they were to test a product that had CBD in it and it actually came from the cannabis plant, but, you know, it had been bred down and all the, you know, the THC had been removed. There's no way to tell where it came from because CBD is CBD is CBD, wherever it comes from.
So there is CBD that has THC naturally in it.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, so that's what they have to do. They breed it down to get the THC mm-hmm. out of it?
Yes, yeah.
Interesting, because I've mm-hmm. seen CBD one-to-one. Mm-hmm. I've seen CBD, just CBD, and then I've seen the CBD concentrate. I've seen in the dog food, you know, right. for the stressed out pet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen it top. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, so why would a CBD from a hemp plant be better or worse than CBD from just like a cannabinoid plant?
So when you look at the cannabinoid profile of a hemp plant, typically you don't see that many other cannabinoids in it. So when you look at the lab testing, you'll see four or five other cannabinoids that are typically present. But then when you look at the cannabis plant, you'll see a lot more. So it's a lot fuller
more spectrum.
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll also see, yeah. So and you'll also see a higher THC content.
Okay.
So the hemp plant is 0.3% or below, which is, to me, it's like a salt in the bucket of water.
Right.
And I still am very confused as to why people want 0%, you know, tinctures, because in order to remove the THC from the full extraction, you have to use extremely harsh chemicals.
Yeah.
And to, you know, for a person that's going to use this regularly day after day after day and possibly for 6 months or more, I really don't want the residue from those chemicals.
Right.
And either my child's tincture or my child's tincture, you know, we have enough environmental factors.
Do you want to explain what a tincture is?
So a tincture is where they take the, I just naturally want to call it cannabis.
And I have to say, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm learning because I think I slightly understand, I don't really know. So well, if I'm sitting here just listening, I'm learning because tincture, I would say a tincture is just a fluid version of something that you can take the CBD.
It is, yeah.
So I've seen it in an alcohol version, a coconut oil version, and it is in a grapeseed version.
Yeah, and there's safflower. There's many, many, many versions. Olive oil is another good one. So a tincture is where either they just take the full extraction, they don't toy with it. We call that Frankenstein oil when people start toying with it or mixing their own. And they just take that full extraction how it is, and they will dilute it with a carrier. Usually that carrier is another oil because hemp or cannabis full extraction is an oily residue, and it attaches to other oils. It will also attach to alcohol, but alcohol depends on what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with epilepsy.
Hand me that CBD oil.
Okay.
Or throw it here. One of the two. Oh, my God. Yeah. I got some CBD oil right here. Yeah. I want to look at some. Does it separate?
It should not separate.
Because I have never known it to separate.
No,
but I'm like, damn.
But if it's mixed with alcohol or another oil, it'll attach to either one of those. If you try to mix it with water, it of course will separate.
It smells like THC.
Does it? Really? Ready? Oh my God, you're going to trust me to catch that?
You caught it.
This big microphone in front of my face. Let me see. It does smell like THC.
Huh.
It also could be the, you said it was grapeseed oil.
Uh-huh.
So that's, it could be the grapeseed oil. It smells kind of funny.
Or you can set it down.
Okay. So now not talking about the nonprofit, because I don't want to mix the two. We also have,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Forgive me that I do that a lot. I'm like, here, let's go this way. Boom. Let's go this way.
So, our nonprofit does not sell cannabis or hemp oil, by the way.
Right.
So our other company, Riley Sunshine, we do.
That would be a profit, right?
Yeah, that would be a for-profit and also a conflict of interest.
Mm.
So we also work with, research and development, and we make, you know, different tinctures, what we were talking about.
Tinctures.
We actually use MCT oil. And the reason why I'm going into that is because grapeseed oil, hemp oil, and there are some other oils. Like, there's websites that you can look up that will tell you the shelf life of these oils. But definitely grapeseed oil and hemp seed oil are two of the oils that go rancid very fast.
And like what? A week?
No, I would say if you leave them, you know, out in unstable temperature, it would probably take, you know, about a month or so.
I bet nobody's CBD oils last in a month.
I hope not. But you never know, because some people buy 5,000 milligrams in a bottle. You don't know.
Is that a big bottle?
And it's not. It's the same size as what you have, which is a 30 ml bottle. Mm-hmm. But it's very potent. It's very condensed.
And that's so, supposed to be concentrate. But you did some numbers. So, you crunched it.
Yeah. It came out to... It was actually a very good price, but it's also isolate. Yeah. So...
What's now? But, are we going to try to teach people stuff here? Because it might... What's isolate?
So isolate is where they take, if this is made from, you know, the natural plant, they take all of the other cannabinoids and strip them out. And typically it takes, because this is such, think of this as being like tar from a tree right. sap. And it takes like really, really strong chemicals to strip those out.
Now I've seen on like, I've watched YouTube, you know, I grew up smoking pot. It was it was my thing. And, you know, finally got sober and you know, got away from that. But, you know, all of a sudden now you can watch all this crazy stuff on YouTube about these people that, you know, they press the pot, they make these oils. Is that how CBD is made, by squashing the plant to a point where it leaks out? Or is it done like a surfactant where it's like it just leaks out? It's like soaked and leaks out.
That's one way of extraction. There's butane, there's CO2 extraction, there's ethanol extraction. There's various types of extraction. It just depends on like what your end goal is.
Yeah.
So, and also depends on the extractor, which, that's not like my forte. I just know that like what we see with, you know, people using isolate and what our extractors tell us, and what we've learned from like traveling around the globe of like having, you know, all these different companies like tell us what their process is. And so, talking to researchers, there was a big panel 2 years ago in Israel, and it was kind of, it was isolate versus, you know, full spectrum. And they weren't talking about like, you know, products with like a lot of THC. They were just talking about like full spectrum as in like, even if it has a tiny bit of THC, you don't have to strip it out.
Would that be compared to like a multivitamin compared to just a vitamin C pill? More of the spectrum?
Yeah, in some ways, except that you didn't have to strip that vitamin C out of anything. So, but I was having a conversation with Professor Daddy Murray from the Technion Institute, which is the highest institute in the cannabis world.
Is that in Israel?
Yes.
Yeah, them Israelis, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, so I was getting a tour of the Technion Institute, and I was discussing with him.
You went to Israel?
Yeah, I've been there 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
So I've spoken.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're into it.
Yeah. So I've spoken there a few times at a medical cannabis conference. Mm-hmm. And my daughter has even, she spoke there a couple months ago. And so on this tour of Technion, I was asking Professor Mary, because the next day at the same conference, they were going to have like this kind of, it was like a debate between isolates, which is ideal for the pharmaceutical industry. And they were going to have, you know, on the other side, they're going to have the full spectrum group. Mm-hmm. And here I was going into a company looking at it more as a pharmaceutical. And I was thinking isolate was the way to go. And this was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were walking down the hallway with him. And that was when he said to me, you know, Janie, there are hundreds of cannabinoids that are in this plant that we have not even identified yet. And we don't even know what they do, but we know they're doing something. And here he's the man who his team is the one who identifies these cannabinoids and is the one who finds out what they do. And he's researching cancer. And so, I mean, his partner is the one who discovered THC. So Like, I was like, oh my God, right in that moment, I was like, no way am I ever going to like believe that isolate is as good as the full spectrum after he just said that.
Why don't we talk a little bit about how CBD helped your family? Because maybe then we can start understanding about like, because my question is, so each cannabinoid could it be help specific problems. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your problems. Let's talk about how you even got to this point, because I know you had some challenges with your daughter, Riley.
Right. Yeah.
Do you want to share that story? Because I think it's a great story.
Yeah. So in 2013, my daughter Riley developed pretty massive bone tumors, like right in the central area of her face, and they worked their way to the left side. So it ate away about a third of the facial structure, her bones.
Wow.
And so we were, you know, going to AI DuPont. The treatment, the standard treatment of it is denosumab, which is a chemotherapy. And her tumors weren't malignant, but this is the standard treatment. And it's for 18 months. And so we were able to, you know, have the tumors removed and ask the doctors for a watch and wait period. Let's just watch, you know, to see what happens, because the reoccurrence rate is, you know, about 67 to 70%. Mm. And from everything that they had learned and that they had researched was that if you leave even the slightest bit behind, a few cells, it's definitely going to come back. Well, when they did the surgery, they left like a big chunk behind. Mm. And it was definitely there on the follow-up MRI. And I had already decided that at that time that I was going to somehow, acquire some safe, you know, cannabis oils. And I had done my research on, you know, on breast, you know, tumors and, you know, bone tumors. And that was when I somehow came across a video of Raphael Mishulam, and he was talking about bone regeneration. And here, my
Raphael
daughter,
how do you say it?
Mishulam. Yeah, and he's the one that works at the Technion Institute.
He probably has videos on YouTube, right?
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah.
So if people want to look into that,
they call him the grandfather of cannabis, because he's the one who discovered THC.
I think I saw him on 60 Minutes.
I'm sure he's all over.
he's a cool
very
guy.
Beautiful soul, very pleasant man. We've met him a couple times, and he's such a sweet man. And so I happened to see a video where he was talking about that it helps, you know, the bone marrow and the regeneration. And here my daughter is facing, you know, plastic surgeries, you know, in her life and no teeth and everything. And I thought, you know, there's nothing that could go wrong except for this is totally against the law. And we just have to keep very quiet. And, you know, I was looking into this, but the thing was I couldn't find a source. And eventually, after like, you know, a couple of months, I found a source in Washington. I found an angel. We call her an angel. And we're, you know, still friends to this day. And she looked over, I sent her all of Riley's medical records, and she looked them over, and she chose to share her husband's medicine that she grew for him organically for her husband's lung cancer.
Don't you love that? Grew the medicine.
Yeah, she grew it herself, and she extracted it herself in Washington. And so, you know, what I love about this is that she's Native American, and like she's, you know, I just felt like there was a connection there to the plant and her, and that, you know, what could go wrong here.
Right.
And so what we did was we used four different strains, profiles of THC, because I had learned, you know, just in all of my research and reading that there's different cannabinoids that could affect different types of cancer and different types of tumor, but I didn't know which one was going to be good for my daughter because her condition was so rare, there was no research.
Right.
And so I mixed these four different types of THC, hoping that one of them had the right terpenes, one of them had the right compounds in it. And so we used that for the first 6 to 8 months. And that was when her tumor that was left behind started shrinking, her bones started, you know, regenerating, and she was able to achieve stability in the first year.
Wow. But in those early days, the THC hadn't been bred out.
No. So it was high THC.
So she was getting a little of everything.
So there's children are very resilient to the THC. And there's a lot of theories on that as to whether maybe their, you know, endocannabinoid system is not fully developed, and it's also different. There's a difference between boys and girls that we have noticed is that girls have a higher tolerance. Little girls, not adult girls. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know if any of that came into play or also that she had such a deficiency in her endocannabinoid system that her body just needed it that bad that she didn't get high. Mm-hmm. But we started her off very low, and we didn't do that rice grain thing that people read about online, that whole Rick Simpson thing.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
So, yeah. So back then, this was in 2013, and it was quite interesting because I also wanted to give her CBD. And back at that time, nobody even knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, this lady did have a strain that had more CBD. So what I would do is I would give Riley her high THC. And then 2 hours later, I'd give her like one that had more CBD to kind of balance, you know, balance it out. And then 2 hours later, give her a tiny bit more so I could keep the doses very low so that she wasn't high.
Right.
And
so in the beginning, you were using THC. You weren't even using CBD.
I was using both, but both. I was using more THC.
So what you're saying is there's some healing effects in THC as well.
Yeah, for tumors and cancer and there's, you know, Parkinson's, there's, you know, there's a mix of both, you know, traumatic brain injury, a little bit of both. There's so many different conditions that that need both of them.
You know, society did such a great job of programming us that that marijuana is bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. And, you know, there's
such a stigma.
It's so lame. And the fact is that it was all over like paper, mm-hmm. you know, and DuPont. And fighting that, you know, nylon and, you know, but the reality is that it's not what it is. And I'll even have people come in here and she says, I might try CBD oil. And I go, you can say it out loud.
Right.
You're fine. You know, you're not going to get, they're not going to swarm in and take you away.
No.
The fact that people have even spent time in jail for a plant
upsetting.
That we grow.
Yeah, it's very upsetting.
And, you know, and there's still states, you don't want to mess around in Texas. Mm-mm. Texas is, and I don't get it. You know, my wife and I, we love watching Live PD, and the more I watch it, the more I realize that
I can't stand to watch that show just because, like, most of their traffic stops are over cannabis. I mean, you know, they call it marijuana, but
alcohol or pot.
Yeah,
and they're like in Texas, they find we got a little grain of some leaf. You know, felony.
Yeah, or even the little blunt.
Yeah, it's a felony. These people are going to jail for that. I mean. It's absurd. It's just, it's very disturbing that's even still going
Most
on.
Most of the families that we help are from Utah and Texas.
Yeah, because they're scared.
Yeah, and so.
Does Utah have strict laws as well?
I am not sure, but it just seems like that's where a lot of families call us. And they want guidance because, like, a family member has sent them a product from out of state and there's no education in Texas. You know, there's nothing. There's no dispensary they can call. There's no doctor that'll talk to them. And so they call us for help. Mm. And then, of course, like, you know, we'll help guide them in whatever product they got. But it's just crazy how many families that I know it's, you know, in the hundreds of families that we've gotten in the last year.
Well, that's awesome. So you're getting the word out. I mean,
definitely.
How long do you think before everything becomes legal? Before this racket is over?
Well, I think especially with the federal case with, you know, Jose Bolin and Jagger, you know, caught. I don't know if you're familiar with the federal case that's going on. And it's been dragging on. But, like, they actually didn't kick the case out of court. They're trying to, you know, change the scheduling. So I definitely think with that case, it's
Now, do you want to give a little bit of an explanation on that? Because I don't really know.
Yeah. So it's Marvin Washington. So I know everybody that's in the case, and I'm friends with most of them. Jose Bolin, he has PTSD. Of course, he served. And Marvin Washington, he's a football player, retired, traumatic brain injury. And then Sebastian, who he's actually one of our consultants, and his son's on hospice. He's only 7. He has a severe mitochondrial disease. Mm. And then there's Alexis Mortel, who has epilepsy in Colorado. Trying to think if there's who else there is. I feel like there's might be one more. But so they sued the government for their right to use cannabis legally. because they, you know, felt that, you know, they shouldn't be trapped in their own states. They should be able to use their, you know, to have access.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, Sebastian's son, Jagger, is in Georgia. And so they were able to pass a law called Haley's Hope in Georgia, but there's no dispensaries. So in reality, what that law did was tell the parents, okay, well, we can give you a letter of recommendation, but how you get it is all on you. You have to break the federal law getting it across state lines.
Mm.
So it's, you know, some of these states are like, so, and Pennsylvania did that for a little while, you know? So it's just kind of, it's not fair for these parents to have to risk their freedom and their jobs and their families. Even if the state like makes the state feel better that they're saying, oh yeah, you can have it within Georgia, but it's all on you to break federal law to get it here.
Yeah. And now that, you know, someone was saying, or I read somewhere that they can't even find it. Like if they catch you, they can't even find a jury to convict you. Like there's no one that's going to be on a jury and convict you of marijuana.
Yeah. So now they, especially if you're sick or you have a sick kid.
Right. So now what they're doing is they're just giving you a ticket, you know, a $600 ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, on live PD, they're like, oh, don't worry. You got a little bit, no big deal. We'll just give you a ticket.
Why even waste the time? Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It's all about money. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be one thing if they were protecting society, but it's a revenue. And it's, I don't know, maybe I'm getting old. I'm getting a little bit cynical.
Well, I think that we're kind of tired of seeing, you know, the cycle of things just repeating themselves. And when you see it happening, you know, like Riley and I have been dealing with legislation for, you know, quite a few years. And when we try to put forth a very good piece of legislation and we get so much pushback from like AI DuPont and the medical society. And, you know, her first thing out of her mouth is like, don't you care about kids? Like, what's wrong? You don't want them to get better? Like,
well, and then to throw alcohol mm-hmm. in the picture, you know, and how much alcohol can ruin families and lives mm-hmm. but we're okay with it. You know, society's fine with that. Mm-hmm. And sugar, you know, sugar right. and alcohol should be illegal and marijuana should be legal. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I'm just blown away. It's funny how, you know, I'll watch a show. We were watching something and this group on the show is all upset and they're like, well, let's make margaritas. And they're like, well, what about the kids? And they're like, well, we'll just make them virgin margaritas. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
sugar. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, but that's alcohol. I mean, mm-hmm. but we're all right with that. It's just, it's crazy time right now.
Right. The biggest pushback that we get, you know, because we deal a lot with pediatrics. The biggest pushback that we get with pediatrics is that old, like, oh, we don't know how it's affecting their brain, you know. And like, we try to remind the, you know, the medical society and the legislators that, hey, like, you know, Riley's Law was enacted for severely sick children. And they're usually on like so many different medications. And so like, what do you want? Like these medications that can definitely affect the brain or something that might slightly affect, you know, the brain. And so what they've learned from, and you can't research cannabis on a pediatric child, a human, you can only research it on cannabis.
Right.
If you're in the US. So what they learned from one study on mice when they were trying to figure out does it affect the brain was that it's so minimal that, you know, it doesn't compared to like even one seizure medication, it doesn't amount to that.
Right.
And so that was another thing I had asked the researchers when I went over to Israel, like I showed them Riley's records and I said, am I harming my child because, you know, of this study that her doctors keep saying, like you're harming her brain. And I showed them and they just laughed and they said, you are not harming her brain. Like what we saw with the mice was so minimal that like the alternative is much worse.
I can't even imagine even what is the damage? The minimal. I mean, what is it that they're worried about?
Is like you might have like a little bit of forgetfulness. But guess what? 6 months after stopping cannabis, like that memory comes right back.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's so minimal. Like my daughter has like, she's an honor. She's straight A kit student. She plays piano. She has a piano scholarship. You know, she travels around the world, gives speeches. You know, she's, if it is affecting her, I can't imagine, you know, like.
All right. It's barbaric, some of these people. Yeah.
Most kids, like when they go on cannabis for their disability or like whatever is ailing them, you know, very sick, it gives them the mindset to be able to excel with their schooling and with education because they're not burdened by that sickness.
I have a lot of, several clients, older clients that are using CBD, you know, and they're ordering it online. I think, was it Charlotte's Web? I think is one of them that one of my clients, whether it's good or not, it's helping him.
Yeah,
he's on a lot of medication. He has a lot of digestive problems. And he said the CBD oil allows him, his stomach and his digestive system to relax a little.
Yeah.
And it's like, he said, he was able to get three or four medications out of his daily medication that he has to take by taking CBD oil.
Yeah. So Charlotte's Web has their original is a full spectrum. They also do have some isolate because there are people that's what they want now because that's what the media has like pushed.
Mm-hmm.
But theirs is fully tested, fully lab tested. And so because of that, and I've seen their labs, like we do, like when people say, oh, I take Charlotte's Web, like that's great. Like as long as they're fully tested and we know their process, you know, we approve of them. Like there's different oils that people will call us and show us the oils and then, you know, they'll ask us to look at it and we'll say to them, like, yay or nay, like this is good, this is bad, and we'll explain to them why.
Full spectrum. I feel like I understand it, but I don't know if I understand it. Mm-hmm. So a full spectrum would be more of a broad, like a broad brush to try to solve
right
problems.
And some people call it broad spectrum and some people call it full spectrum.
So like if let's say you, what might be a condition? So what did, for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you would take something of like a broad spectrum, but the isolates really isolate the exact cannabinoid that is really specific to your problem. Or not to your problem, but to a person's problem. Is that where a full spectrum just kind of covers it all?
So the tricky thing with cancer is there's certain cancers that require different things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of those cancers we haven't pinpointed the synergistic effect between some of these cannabinoids, which actually work. Sometimes it's not so clear cut to say it's THC or it's CBD. It's a lot of times it's the terpenes involved and it's the different other cannabinoids that are coming along with that THC in that specific profile. So, you know, you've probably heard the names of different, like, you know, Girl Scout cookies and train wreck and stuff like that. So
are those different kinds of pot?
Yeah.
Flower.
So, yeah. So we're getting away with, you know, calling them different names because, you know, what one grower might call train wreck over in California might not be the same profile.
Mm-hmm.
Just because different water, different sun, different earth. So if you look at the labs, it might look very different, but one might kill cancer better than the other. And so we, when you look at at cancer, you actually need different profiles and it's not specifically just, you know, using isolate THC, which they, you know, they make isolated THC, but it's not as effective as using like the full spectrum because we need those other compounds to support that THC and use it in a synergistic effect. So, and in saying that, you know, not all cancers are the same, there's, you know, estrogen-driven cancers that if you give those cancers too much THC, it can actually cause them to spread.
Mm.
Leukemia is one that, you know, needs more CBD. And there's, you know, there's research to back this up that, you know, CBD is ideal, you know, and I'm not saying CBD isolate. I'm just saying like AC/DC or something that is like has more CBD in it. You know, and there's, you know, different types. You have to like look at what type of cancer you're dealing with and then go back and research it or work with somebody that is versed in dealing with cancer and cannabis together. Like we for instance had a person who, you know, did a consult with a doctor about their leukemia, and the doctor, you know, gave them the exact ratios of what they needed and you know, supported it with the research and everything. They went back to the bud tender, and the bud tender says, oh, no, you need the Rick Simpson method, which is like 60 days, a gram a day, 60 days using just THC, just distillate THC, which distillate is like another kind of like isolate THC. Okay. And within 2 weeks, the person was in the ICU because their white blood cell counts dropped. And so like right there.
So that didn't work.
No, but it was very unethical of that bud tender to, you know, knowing that this is what their doctor recommended, to say, oh, no, don't listen to them. I know what I'm talking about because I've been a bud tender.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up a little bit because, you know, you go to, you know, if you get a medical card and then you're prescribed medical marijuana and then you go to the dispensary, mm-hmm. you're not dealing with pharmacists.
Nope.
So do you think we need to start maybe trying to do a better job at that?
I think that.
Or do you think one day you'll be able to get your medical marijuana down over at Walgreens?
I think that is coming eventually. But I think that every dispensary needs to have consultations from medical personnel, like licensed medical personnel that are versed in this. I know that Maryland has that enacted, that, you know, they have to have pharmacists on staff and, you know, some training in there for people to work with them. Even their doctors who are registered to be able to, you know, recommend medical cards for patients, a lot of them are already trained. And so, you know, that's a little piece that we're missing, because even our own doctors here, like they'll admit to you that they don't understand it.
No, they don't. Nobody understands anything, mm-hmm. it seems like. And I mean, I can imagine, since you've been doing a lot of work with this, I can imagine just in the last 5 years, the changes that you've mm-hmm. seen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
5 years ago, you probably couldn't even talk about it. Now you're allowed to. It's so funny that the stigma that goes with marijuana. This lady the other day was literally leaning over and just whispering, I might be trying CBD. I'm like, did you say LSD? Or, I mean, it's, yeah. You can say it out loud. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think one of the funnier things is, or not funnier, wonderful thing really, because I think it's wonderful, is to see a lot of people that, you know, whether their opinion was good or bad of THC, but when it kind of comes to them and trying to look for alternatives, then all this medication that the pharmaceutical companies would like us taking, they're trying it out. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, I'll put everything I've put behind me, like, you know, because most people have always been against pot, you know.
Yeah.
And you're seeing people that they're like, okay, I want to give it a chance, and they're seeing good results, and then they're excited.
Yeah.
You know, what an amazing. It's a shame that it took this long, right?
It is. I do hope that people, even though, like, a lot of times people will say to me, like, you know, does your product have THC in it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I want it to. Like, I, you know, and then I have to go through and explain the, you know, how much better it is, like, and that it's still not they automatically think it's psychoactive. Because it has 0.3%. I'm like, do you realize how much that is? Like, you know, and then I have to like explain to them like why it's going to work so much better.
Right.
But everybody is like so concerned about it being psychoactive. And that's the biggest question that we get when people like use ours, is that they'll call me back. Is this going to make me like high? And I'm like, are you kidding? I feel like saying, are you kidding me? you could drink the whole bottle and it's not going to make you high.
Well, I mean, you might feel it.
Yeah, you're going to feel better.
Right.
And sometimes that...
Isn't that high? Yeah. I mean, well, like this guy that a client of mine, he's like, yeah, I was feeling felt a little high.
Sometimes,
but, you know,
sometimes I wonder if that's a placebo effect.
It might be, or maybe I always say, if you live in a field of manure long enough and you come out,
right.
You think that the air is from heaven, and it's right. really just air. You've just been living in such a crappy yeah. situation for so long.
Exactly. So, I mean, there is one time, now Riley, what she takes is like, it's cannabis, it's ACDC. So it's CBD with like 6 or 7% THC. It depends on how the extraction comes out. And one time it was a full extraction, which means that it was like, it had not been diluted in any oil. So it was, you know, a thick oil, and I dropped a little bit on our counter because I like to mix it myself so I can make it stronger for her so she doesn't have to take as much. Mm-hmm. And I dropped a little bit on the counter, and I said, you know, I said to my husband, I said, I'm going to try it. And it was barely a little dot, and I tried it. And then I think about an hour later, I said to him, I was like, oh, my God, that made me feel a little, like, woozy, like a little high.
You can say it.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. And he was, like, laughing at me, as you know, because, you know, that CBD had never made me, like, to me, that is CBD. It had never made me high before. But at the same time, that was probably hundreds of milligrams in that one little drop, but it also had the 7% THC in it.
Right.
So, but that's what, you know, she takes in 210 milligrams a day of this type of extraction.
So what does she take? I mean, did the cancer go away?
So yeah, it,
is she cancer free?
It's stable.
Stable.
So we still have to be careful. Like we've got in touch with other people in the world that have it. We only know of like a handful of people. There's been a few cases where like it was gone for 10 years and then popped up and it came back like worse than what it was. There's a couple of patients that we are, that we've been able to consult with, and they've been able to avoid the chemotherapy. And there's, two of them in New Jersey. And so we are hoping, we're talking to researchers. We're hoping that we can get a white paper written. And hopefully a clinical trial.
Where do you, like, so I'm sure that when you, like, do you have a website that you put all this stuff on? You keep everything, all the latest victories in the battle? Do you keep all this, the articles posted somewhere?
So we post media articles. As far as, like, what we're doing with the research, like, once something is actually published, because it takes a long time because of where we live, for anything like that to ever happen, it takes years. And so it can take even out of the country, like in Canada or the other country we're working with is Israel. It can take 7 years. Thankfully, because of like us handing them the data, it gives them a 2-year jump start. So then you still have 5 years. So I don't know. I have the mind frame of like, let's not publish it until it's done.
Right.
Like, because I don't want to like curse myself of, you know, jumping ahead of myself.
Well, I was just wondering because I know that there's, I mean, I have a client whose son has autism, and I say, well, how come you don't try some CBD? You know, like maybe that'd fix that. And she's like, well, there's just not enough research. And I mean, are they researching it as far as like helping?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
With autism and other things?
Right. So that's our biggest population of data that we have. And that's actually one of the preclinical trials that we're turning, caseload over for. So yeah, definitely have her get in touch with us. So the trials,
I will. She's actually a doctor.
Okay. So the trials that happened in Israel, the reason why they were CBD based trials is because that is what the Ministry of Health would allow for children. Mm-hmm. And so don't be surprised if in the next 5 years they do more trials and we find out it wasn't the CBD that was helping them.
What do you think it was, the THC?
I think it was a combination of CBG and THC.
Well, that would be, I think there's a lot of, I mean, she, you know, there's obviously different levels of autism, but her son is in a place where he's almost, you know, she can't, you know, you would say, you know, let's just live with us and we'll, you know, live our lives together, but he can't, you know, he's so extreme. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if they could figure out a way to try something like that to maybe relax him or something. I don't know. Right. I'm not an expert in either, so I'm just talking on my ass a little bit. But
we did a the nonprofit did a petition for pediatric autism for the state, and it passed, thank goodness. But the petition is still online through the medical marijuana program. And within that petition is research and lots of letters from parents who use cannabis for their autistic children. And so
there are parents that do it now.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But is there research or are they just kind of freewheeling it?
So you can look at that petition and we put like a ton of research right in the petition. And since the petition was written, I believe the petition was written in 2017. And since that, we have like more research that's happened.
So if I'm just trying to think, because I want people to be able to get this information. If I, when I post this podcast, I'm going to put a link to your website. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to put a link to whatever you tell me to put a link to. But if they go to that link, will this person that's maybe has a child with autism that's interested or thinking about that, could they find out that information through your website?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll tell me that.
So what we would want them to do is there's a contact us button. Mm-hmm. We don't have the research posted on our website yet because we're redoing our Riley Sunshine website. But what they could do is contact us, and then we can just unload a bunch of research onto them.
That's exciting, because I bet there's a lot of people that are interested in that.
There's so many different, you know, rare diseases. Like, it's almost impossible to, like, put all of the research, you know, on one thing, because there's, you know, just thousands, 4,000 different rare diseases, and that's really, like, our focus. Somebody asked me yesterday, their high schooler wanted to do a report on like how cannabis helps cancer. And I said to her, like, which type of cancer, you know, cause you have no idea how much I'm getting ready to send you. And then she's like, well, I don't know. Just pick a couple. So I picked three, and it was, I think I sent her 130 different research articles.
Wow. Does cannabis help other cancers more than other cancers? Like, is it have great results in a certain kind of cancer other than maybe not as much like pancreatic cancer?
So that one's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a very tough one.
I had a girlfriend that I knew announce that she had pancreatic cancer the same day that Alex Trebek announced his pancreatic cancer. She's dead. She already died. So, and Alex Trebek is jamming.
Right. So using cannabis with the chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer will lengthen your expectancy by three times, but they have not found a cure in that way. But it's given them enough promise that they're continuing to research this.
Well, and they say the biggest problem with pancreatic cancer is that it's always found so late.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're getting I've heard of people that have getting a hip replacement, and during that surgery, the doctor realizes that there's cancer, pancreatic cancer, and then they catch it early. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always fix it, but it's, you know, so right. They're usually stage four by the time they find it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, we just recently had somebody that had gallbladder surgery and then found out she had cervical cancer,
oh my gosh.
But they caught it early enough. So, you know, we're able to help her out a little bit. There's so many different types of cancer but that one is a tough one, but at least they've found enough promising evidence that it's helping, that they're going to keep researching that. So, you know, there's different.
Do you guys make CBD oil, or are you involved in that too?
So we did for a little while in California, before Prop 64. But it was like different cannabis oils. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because of everything, all the regulations changed in California, and it's really doesn't pay to be licensed in California right now, because every day things are changing there, and a lot of the people that are licensed are just going out of business. So we pulled back a little bit on California, and then just focused more on the hemp line, because we had hemp the whole time, mm-hmm. And then focused on the hemp line. Meanwhile, they legalized the cultivation, you know, with the passage of the industrial hemp law, and we decided to go ahead and start farming hemp. I'm not a farmer, but we have a large farm in Virginia, nice, which is 90 miles from here, and so we're gonna go ahead and we have a small plot this summer, and then next year we're gonna go ahead and enlarge that plot.
And you're just going to make some hemp, some CBD oil, your own kind.
Yeah, so it'll be, so right now we source from, is a very good friend of mine. He's been doing this since 2000.
And I guess that's all legal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, where we source from now is in Colorado, and he's a very good friend of mine. We've been out to his farm to visit, and that's one thing to always make sure of, like, whoever you're buying from is that, you know, what do the fields look like? Have you been there? Are they real fields?
Well, do they grow hemp hydroponically, or is it always just grown in the dirt?
Usually they're started off hydroponically, and mm-hmm. then they transfer.
Yeah. Well, the medical card that you can get here, I guess it allows you to grow pot.
Not yet.
Oh, it doesn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought you could grow it.
Yeah. Not yet. Only hemp. But even to have hemp here in Delaware, you know, you have to have your registration and everything. So, and in, you know, in Virginia, we have our registration to grow, cultivate, process, and deal. So.
Well, I really appreciate you coming to talk about this, because I think it's a lot of people are confused about what does, because I know for me that it's illegal, but it says it in giant three letters next to the China Buffet, yeah. CBD.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Have you been over there?
The pharmacist, I've seen that for a long time. The pharmacies are selling it, the country club, I think, is selling it. The, you know, everybody.
The country club selling it?
I think so.
Oh, my God. It reminds me of, remember when there was, a little different, but in the hair business, there was Moroccan oil. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but this, the argan oil, remember the,
mm-hmm.
but the argan seed is illegal to harvest.
Right.
So, I don't know how they're getting any argan oil, because you can't harvest the seed. So I think it's such a minimal amount.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's got argan oil in it. Everybody's like all excited about argan oil, and it's really not.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal. You can't.
I know.
It's a protected seed, the argan nut or whatever it is. And it just reminds me of the CBD. I mean, the same thing. It's like, oh, it's got CBD kind of stuff in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the thing that I'm not liking about, like, this whole influx of, you know, everybody like carrying CBD, is that nobody's like really doing their due diligence and checking, like, you know, where they're carrying. It's a fast money maker,
right?
And so, like, there's a lot of snake oil out there, and there's a lot of like trickery and wording. Like, we saw it at Bed Bath and Beyond. And I even posted about it. Like, this is not actually CBD oil, but it sounds like it is. Like, you know, you could buy hemp oil or hemp seed oil in the grocery store since I was a teenager. You know, it's been a very long time ago. And but people think it's something new because they just had never paid attention to it. And so, like, when you're buying your oil, like, it's so important to, like, know what the FDA guidelines were, because you'll find out whether or not that company is in compliance. And if they're not in compliance, it means they're not paying attention to, like, what they're supposed to be doing, which means they're probably not, like, following the regulations. They're probably not testing their products. And they're probably in this for the short term to make a quick buck, which means that they don't care about their consumer.
So if someone wanted to learn more about CBD from a real source, I mean, do you talk about that in your website as well? Do you educate people?
So we usually do that from the platform, or, like, you know, when we are interviewed like this, like, or, you know, we go and we give, like, educational courses, and we are able to show people, because it's important to be able to, like, you know, describe what to look for. And there's so much information. It's like really hard. We are, like, going to be putting together, like, a little list of, like, here is what you need to look for if you're buying.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And we hope that people will pay attention, but we can, like, tell you that, you know, the biggest things to look for, anytime you buy, are the labs, full panel labs, not just potency. Like, one time I asked a person, you know, where are your labs? And she said, well, isn't that the nutritional label? And I'm like, no.
Well, I'm looking at this label right here, and I wouldn't know what the hell any of this information is. So it says CBD 30 mil of 30 milligrams milliliter GSO concentrate.
Yeah, so that has no. So I wouldn't know what any of that is. What you get from the dispensary, the state says that they test, and if it passes their test, then it's on the shelf. So you don't actually get to see it. But when you're buying from a store, there's no testing required as of yet. The FDA has not come down and said everybody, they haven't regulated it yet. So somebody literally could like put anything in that bottle and say that it is CBD and you can do nothing about it.
Well, that's dangerous because it could really give the CBD oil a black eye.
It does, especially, you know, there is a case where, and this is, I'm going to show you what, I'm going to tell you about this case. So this is the testing on errors and what you should look for, from any company like pesticide, you should have pesticide testing,
yeah.
Microbial metals, residual solvents, which would be like ethanol, isopropyl.
So is this all the testing for your stuff?
But so this anybody. Everybody should have these tests.
I don't want to. I'm afraid to ask, but so do you guys? Are you guys be selling CBD oil?
Are we what?
Selling it or a connection for CBD oil? I mean,
yeah. So a safe Riley connection. Sunshine. Yeah, Riley Sunshine.
So Riley Sunshine. If people are interested in trying CBD oil, the legal kind.
Yeah.
Because the hemp kind is legal.
Yeah, it's the hemp kind.
But it still gives you the same healing properties.
And theirs has, I mean, you can see right on there. It has a little bit of THC on it.
I'm looking at some.
Yeah, this one has 0.25%.
Cannabinoid laboratory reports.
Yeah. So what happened, this has been a few.
These are the ago. Residual solvents, parts per million, that are left when the product is made.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and pesticides, not good.
Yeah. So a lot of companies you'll see, like if it says ND, it means that there's none detected. And if you see NA, it'll say that it means that it was not tested for. Like all of ours say ND, it means none detected.
So these guys are out of Colorado.
Yeah. So that's where we source our oil from.
I'm excited. I want to try it.
Yeah. So like we passed all of our testing. For our oil, and anytime anybody, you know, purchases.
That's funny that they salmonella can be found.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the worst part is the mitotoxins, which under the microbials.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is susceptible, like has asthma, susceptible to pneumonia, they're older, they have cancer, they have autoimmune disease. If somebody's oil was not tested for that and has microbials in it, it'll take them down in a week.
Oh, my God. Do you post this information?
So that...
It's on your website?
We can email to anybody who buys our oil.
Mm-hmm. This is very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but exciting. You should always receive those, you know, when you buy oil because it is unregulated. And right. You don't know if you're
getting crap. Well, it also says on this label I just read, it says, this product was made in a facility that uses avocado oil, grapeseed oil, and coconut oil.
In case you're allergic to, that's not our oil, but it's the dispensary.
But then it says this one is made with grapeseed oil, so.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. Yeah, grapeseed oil can sometimes upset your stomach, so just so
well, you know. I don't want to give CBD oil a black eye, but I've tried it, and it doesn't really, I have a lot of, I hurt my back, and I thought maybe CBD oil would work for my back. It doesn't really. For my back, it's not. I actually, and I can talk to you about this off air, but I thought maybe it was giving me a little bit of a heavy heartbeat, which was, I don't know if that's what it was. I don't know, but maybe it was that it wasn't that grapeseed oil or something. But I just tried it. It was like, here, you got you have back problems, just try this. And you know, maybe a dose from a professional that could give me a proper dose or try to help me understand a proper dose maybe would have been a little bit more helpful to me because I just squirted some in my mouth and went on with my day.
Yeah, so CBD oil can be stimulating. If it's under like about 20 milligrams, it can be. So if you have any ADHD or like, you know, you happen to be a hyper person, it can be very stimulating, like having like a bunch of espressos all at once. So, and that's why like you know, with autism, we usually, like, you know, dose those kids a lot higher, because over 20 milligrams is when you start seeing a little bit more anti-anxiety or a little more sedating effect. It has to be really high dosing. And so, you know, that was one of the reasons that we wanted to pass that petition for autism, because CBD is not always optimal. There's other things that are better, and you could dose a lot lower.
Yeah.
And more cost effective.
Well, that's, and I think that's kind of where my problem was, because I just was taking a thing and squirting it in my mouth, and it was,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, the other thing is for me is that I'm sober. You know, I've been sober. I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, the program that I use to help me keep me from drinking, you know, says that I can't, you know, marijuana, anything like that is a drug. But it's, listen, I don't care. You know, I know I can't drink alcohol. That's been made. That's clear to me. I was a little worried about trying CBD oil, because there was a time in my life as a teenager, you know, I liked pot. I was very, very big fan of pot. And it didn't ever hurt me. All it did was take away my motivation, my drive. You know, I preferred to kick it and smoke pot than, like, do my homework or go to school. Right. It was not good for that for me at that period of my time in my life. But I was worried that if I tried CBD oil, that I would be, you know, doing CBD oil all day or something. I didn't know what to expect, and luckily it didn't have that result. But you know, it's funny, if I'm a sober guy and I can, like, I struggled with sleeping. The doctors prescribed me Ambien. I struggled with that for 3 years trying to, you know, because I would take it and it might help me sleep. I don't know what it was going on, but it was I got kind of addicted to it. And I had this real anxiety about sleeping. Oh my God, what happens if I don't have my Ambien? What am I going to do? But by the time I finally quit that, I was taking 3 Ambien a day. Mm-hmm. But I'm sober, you know? Right. So it was a real trying to even open my mind up to try and maybe like a CBD oil or something that's in THC, yeah. And worried about my sobriety.
Been ingrained because of the stigma that it's the same thing as alcohol, when it's not as addictive as alcohol. Coffee is more addictive.
And so. I also think that it's one of those things, like, you know, if you can't get it, mm-hmm. it becomes more addictive. You know, but if it's, and you know, I guess that's for certain things, because alcohol was plenty available and I still became addicted to that too. But I don't know. It'll be interesting over the next 5 or 10 years to see where marijuana kind of finally comes, where it shakes out at. Because, you know, I can't imagine picking up CBD oil at Wawa, you know, or buying marijuana at Wawa.
There's a lot of hybrid or sativa strains of THC that... a lot of people who have had severe addictions find that those make them feel better, because, like you, they didn't like smoking when they were younger because they didn't feel like they got anything done, and it became, you know, a vicious cycle. And so those people, they seem to feel better with, like, sativa, which is what CBD is, or a hybrid.
Oh, really? Sativa's CBD is made out of sativa,
mm-hmm.
not indica.
Mm-mm, sativa. Well, most there are a few that are indica, but most of them are sativa.
It's interesting.
What you're getting in a store, hemp, is supposed to be sativa.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been an hour.
Has it already?
It's been an hour. Have I given you every opportunity to share all the information you would like to? Because you can keep talking. I'll listen all day if you want. If we miss something, if you think you want to something else you want to talk about before we wrap it up.
That's up to you.
I'm doing another podcast in a half hour, so you got 30 more minutes. I mean, and this isn't about an agenda, but I'm learning. I'm really, as much as I feel like I know about this stuff, I really don't know much about this stuff. Yeah. So I really wanted to have you on. I had asked another lady on, and she was a little like flighty. I don't know.
Been a little intimidated, maybe.
Maybe, no. But there's nothing to be intimidated by.
No, not at all. We're all learning. I don't think I'll learn everything in my entire lifetime.
Well, and I also want you to know that if you ever want to come back, you can come back anytime. Yeah. If you want to talk about something, if we need an update,
right?
I love doing this, and you know, it's free, so the platform is yours.
Cool. Well, there's I was gonna because I started to say there was a story when you were looking at the labs, and I totally forgot I was going to go into that. So we were contacted by a mom that was using an oil, and it's a very popular oil that is sold online, and I've seen it in a few stores around. But every time she gave it to her daughter would vomit within 20 minutes. Mm. And it was even on like the CBS that, you know, had failed a few tests and stuff. And but then this company said, oh, no, that wasn't our oil. They got that oil from Groupon. It was, you know. But then so this mom said, you know, called us and said, I don't know what to do. You know, every time I give it to her, she's sick. And I called them and they said, oh, no, she must have the stomach bug. And so I said, did you get it directly from that company? And she said, yes. And she goes, my friend got it, too. And her daughter's sick, vomiting same way. So I said, stop taking it right away. Send it, you know, to our lab. And we paid, you know, $710 to have it tested. Mm. And I said, we'll send you out a replacement oil because I feel bad that, you know, you just lost your oil.
And so they had bought different oil, not your oil.
No, not our oil. Right. Yeah. And so so I sent her out a bottle of our oil, the same milligram. It was a 750 milligram bottle because I didn't want her daughter to go without. And so she didn't have that problem with our oil, which was even more suspicious. And so she sent her oil to Steep Labs, Steep Hill Labs, which is the lab that we use.
Steep Hill Labs.
Yeah, Steep Hill.
Okay.
And so they tested it, and it came back with isopropyl and lead in it. And so, and this is a very...
Is isopropyl, that's alcohol, right?
Yeah, that's rubbing alcohol.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, it's an isolate. So this is like a company that is like very well known, very, you know, sold like in different storefronts and everything. So that's like another like big thing that, you know, just don't assume because they have a pretty label or like nice branding that, you know, their labs are accurate, because we went back and looked at the labs that went to that batch number. And of course their labs didn't say what our lab said.
Right.
And there are, you know, people in this industry that are brand new, but they've still figured out how to doctor labs. And it's very, I can tell you it's very easy to do because we've seen them come to us doctored. And when you go and call that lab and ask that lab, is this one of your customers? They'll say, we've never heard of them before.
So if somebody, let's say someone listens to this podcast and goes, you know what, I want to try CBD oil. Mm-hmm. Should they contact you?
Contact us?
Yeah, if they have any questions.
Yeah, we've had people contact us and say, you know, which of these three would you use? And they live like either in a different country or a different state. And we'll tell them which one.
You know? You're not recommending, you're not prescribing, but mm-hmm. you're sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing what you've learned.
Yeah. And we don't like, you know, push our own or, you know, right. because they just, you know, they have three bottles. And what do you think about these three? And
The information you showed me from the testing, that's very important. I mean, that's important. You know, I didn't know all that, and I really didn't know how they created those tinctures. So, you know, the fact that there's, you know, residue. What was the residue I saw? No, hold on. I got this other one. There was like, yeah, pesticides can be found.
Metals are a huge issue because the hemp plant is a cleaner of the earth, and it'll pull like lead out of the ground. Any kind of metal, it just sucks it right out of the ground. So that's
yeah. So here, like acetone, benzene, butane, ethanol, heptane, hexane, isobutane, isopropyl alcohol, pentane, propane, toluene, xylene. Those can all be found in the product in the mm-hmm. in. Those residues can be all left in the process of creating these tinctures, mm-hmm. but not in yours.
No, not.
That's important.
No. And if it is in ours, we don't, you know, we just don't buy it from right. our source, or we have to throw it out. So we can't chance it because we're working with like such fragile humans.
Well, listen, I've learned a lot. You've done a great job today. I think you're very informative. I really appreciate you coming on. And you can come, like I said, you can come back anytime. If you want to talk about something else the next time, I'd love to have you on. The door is always open for you, all right? Yeah, I think you're doing an awesome job, and I appreciate it.
No problem.
So who are you one more time, and what's it, just to name your website?
So Janie Madler. And so
do you guys have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we have, gosh. Yeah, we have Facebook. My daughter has Instagram. and then we have two different Facebook pages. So we have Riley Sunshine. It's R-Y-L-I-E-S. Sunshine.
And I'm going to put all, you can still say it, but I'm going to try to, I want to write it down in the description of the podcast so that people can check it out.
All right. So the RileySunshine.com is, where you could find our oil. And then you just contact me to purchase, because that's a subject for a whole nother day. But
another podcast on that one.
Yeah, another podcast for that one. But banking, even though hemp has been legalized, there's still banking issues.
Is it spelled R-E-I-L-Y?
Here you go.
Because my stepdaughter's Riley, but she spells it differently. Oh,
okay. I wish I could find somebody with her name spelled the same way, because we have a lot of monogram things passed to somebody.
You know what I'm going to probably do is I'm going to take pictures of these and just put it with the podcast on the Rehoboth Social podcast page. Yeah.
And then,
are these for me?
Oh, yeah, you can have
them. Nice. Those aren't for me, though, are they?
What's that? I can leave some for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the nonprofit is Riley's Smile, spelled the same way.
Riley's Smile.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, you can almost put it in any way and it's going to pop up, because we have like every single.
I did, and you're right, you do. You grabbed the corner on that one.
My daughter covered all bases. She's like, get this one.
Well, very cool.
So, yeah. And Riley also, for anybody that doesn't know, if you look up Dope Magazine, a lot of cannabis consumers will know this. Dope Magazine, Riley is the first pediatric patient pediatric anybody on their front cover for the national magazine.
Well, you mentioned this, and I thought it was a great idea. Maybe she'll come on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, she would love that. She likes talking about cannabis.
Well, that'd be fun, because I'd love to have her on.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate it. This has been a great time. I've learned a lot. I'm going to research and look into some of this, and, I think you've really opened up my eyes to understanding CBD a little bit, because it's confusing.
Yeah.
Even for a guy like me.
Hopefully when the FDA finally puts down their regulations, you'll see a lot of the smaller companies that are doing, some bad things will wash away.
Okay, cool. Well, so you'd maybe come back again.
Yeah.
Definitely. We have two microphones now, so we can have you and Riley on.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Or just Riley, whatever. All right, listen, thank you. Have a great day. Right, and bye-bye. Y'all.